you do it forever. It has to be a designation forever. V'dafka stam avon. Now, then he goes back to stones. Let's see, you want to go use a stone. V'dafka stam avonim. Avonim v'michoyim ha'munachim ala kira. Stam and evan is muksa. It's a muksa machmas atzma. And you have to designate it. Designate it forever. We're two different scenarios. Aval avonim ha'munachim ala kira. But a stone that's on top of a stove. Mutter l'taltlon b'loy shumachonim. Because the mistam yichodim l'tashmish. You have a stone on top of a kira and the stones are used. I don't know exactly what these are stones for. They use it for some purpose of keeping the pots in place or supporting the pots. So these stones obviously have been designated for the use of the pot, for the stove. These are not muksa. It's a kli shumach l'heter. And the mistor, even if it's a kli shumach l'isra, l'tzach gufa, l'tzach mekoyma, it's mutter. Now it's going back. Eitzim ha'gulim shenisru l'sreifa that have been wood that have been round wood shenisru l'sreifa that have been cut firewood. If you have wood and the wood has been cut for the furnace for your fireplace, so shekorim, which is called gal. What do you know what word is?
Kletz.
Kletzlich?
Kletzlich.
What's kletzlich?
A piece of wood.
Piece of wood? Okay, so you have the firewood.
Klotz.
Klotz. Doesn't move. A klotz. Someone doesn't move. Okay.
A little klotz.
So kletzlich. A kletzlich. Leish v'aleim. So here's a shayla. I have firewood. The firewood has been designated. It's mutzamach mas atzma. It's not a utensil. And it's set aside to be burnt and on fire. So now I want on Shabbos to pick it up and I want to go use it as a chair. I want to go take it and use it as a place to sit down on. Am I allowed to move it? No, it is also. Since this is not a kli, this is something which is muksamach masatzmai, an object that is muksamach masatzmai, it's osur. It's osur to be mutatla afilu tzoch gufay. I want to use it as a chair. It's osur. The only way you can use something that's muksamach masatzmai on Shabbos is if you designate it from before Shabbos. So that's what you must do. Leish, it's osur to sit upon them, to move it. Imlo shetikna me'erv Shabbos lekach. There has to be designation. What's a designation? He says, here you have to actually do something to it. Do something to it. The Kaven, since the Einim Omdim L'Shiva, he says even worse, because these things, it's like Botloi Daitel Eitzel Kolodam. People never sit down on the Kletzlach. They never do this. So therefore, it's not just that the Machshav would not be enough. You must do something physical to show that this is now going to be used for a chair. Or you should sidram erev Shabbos, or you organize them, you arrange them, yoshalem erev Shabbos, and you actually sit down upon the erev Shabbos to actually show that this is now going to be used as designated for a new purpose.
B'diavad, no?
What?
Even b'diavad?
Even b'diavad? What do you mean, b'diavad?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it says. So the bottom line over here is, sum up is, an object that is muksa, machmas atzmai, may not be moved on Shabbos, letzorech gufay, or letzorech mekaymai. The only way we can override this prohibition is if you designate it erev Shabbos. What is what kind of designation? So it depends. I mean, he obviously says you have to do something significant. Even make a change in the object, or to arrange it and actually use it for the very first time, what you want to use it for. And then we mentioned above, if what you want to do is so bizarre, it's so strange, no one ever do this, then there's a higher standard where you have to designate it forever that it's going to be used for this purpose. A single week designation would not be sufficient. But if it's something which sometimes people indeed do use these objects for, then it's sufficient to designate it for a one-time deal. Halachas. Machshava, well, that's what he said. He says, no, not really. Machshava, I mean, he contradicts it. First, at the beginning, he says Machshava does help. And then over here, he says Machshava does not help. So I'm not exactly sure. I don't know the details. In the beginning, he said a machshava was enough, and here he says a machshava is not enough. You have to go and mistiknam. You have to actually do a mice. You have to actually go and do something significant to show that you're really, really serious. I don't know. When we get to the more practical halachas, we'll see what the pesukim say. Let's at least get some of the basics. We're almost there. Halachas. Let's say you have earth or sand. That is collected in the bais. Mutul tatla the kevin the tzava zehu has manasa letashmish. In ancient times, okay, this is not relevant for us today. They would use earth, they use sand to cover waste, to cover urine, to cover waste. Or they have children, there's waste, it smells. So therefore, it's that's what it's there for. That's why you get a shipment. Erev Shabbos, erev during the weekday, Amazon drone comes down with a packet of earth to cover your earth floor. right? To cover your earth floor in case there's going to be any waste. So it's not muksa, it's miyuchad. Aval imhu mufuz. But let's say it's mufuz. Let's say the earth is not piled up. It's just lying around. It already was spread out, and now you want to go to collect it and use it. Bottle the karka the osir betilten it's muksa. L'chinif mutul little peris tatumun b'chol atzavur. Another example. Let's say you have sand that has been piled up, so it's not muksa, and in the sand there is fruit. Someone buried a fruit inside the sand. So in order for me to retrieve the fruit, I have to be metaltel the sand. Well, the sand is not muksa. If the sand is not muksa, there is no issue. I can go and get the fruit. But mutl tatl, and also mutl tatl eifel kira, shahay yisham yisham. It's also people that had ash from the ovens. They would also use to cover different items that are disgusting. It's also mutl. Avo mash, husak b'shabbos, osir. Nu halacha. What about ash that has been created on Shabbos itself? When Shabbos began, it was wood, and the fire was burning, and the fireplace was going, and then on Shabbos, the wood turned into ash. Am I allowed to take that ash and use that ash to go and cover over some waste? Also, why? The Have Noilad. It's a new creation. It's a new state. The Chayin Mutar, Lachtich, Anaf, and Adekam, of Shabbos, Lahanich, Lahanif, by Lahavriach, Hazruvim, Chayotzibo. You're allowed to cut off a branch from a palm tree, Erev Shabbos, and you're going to designate this branch as a fan. Or to push away all of the flies, a fly swatter. The cave, now a branch is muksa, a branch of a tree is certainly muksa, but since I have designated this branch to be my fly swatter, it's mutter. The cave, the yichud lekach aso kli gomer. Avol aso likach onof min hamach bedos. But you're not allowed to take a branch from piles of wood on Shabbos. Sharehu muksa. If outside in the street there are branches that the gardener has collected together and he's going to chip off, so these branches are muksa machmas atzmai, it's garbage, it's not a utensil, and now on Shabbos for the very first time I want to take this branch and use it for a permissible purpose, so that's what we just learned before. An object that is muksa machmas atzmai is aser afilu litzarech gufay or mekoymai. Ve'afilu notal nachri aser litalvel. Even if a guy took it into the house, he took a branch, he brought it into you and gave it to you, here's a fly swatter, it's too little too late. If you want to go use an object that is muksa machmas atzmai litzarech gufay or mekoymo, you must designate it from before Shabbos. Halacha das, v'chei muksa machmas chesaron kis. Mahani haza azmana litash mishbo. Muksa machmas chesaron kis. You have a $5 million painting. You're not allowed to move it around on Shabbos. Even litzach gufa umukamo. Even if you're afraid it's going to get lost. Muksa machmas chesaron kis is usher. But let's say you designate it before Shabbos. I designate the $500 million painting to be a shtender. I want to learn Gemara. $500 million painting that was just sold at auction. Oh, perfect shtender. I put over here. And I'll put a little. Tissue box, and I'll put the stand. I'll put the painting this way. I can take my Gemara, smash it down on the $500 million painting. So does it help? And now on Shabbos, am I allowed to take the shtend, take it, and shuckle and move it back and forth, bang, to show what a masmid I am? Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So the answer is yes. If you designated muksa machmas chesaron kis that has been designated, removes its state of muksa. The only thing is, when it comes to muksa machmas chesaron kis, no longer can you sell that painting at auction for $500 million because it has to be designated forever to serve this purpose.
Permanently it should be.
What?
Permanently,
yes, definitely. Could you imagine today, if someone would auction off the table, the table of the Chofetz Chaim, how much do you think it would be worth today? They have the table, a little table, the Chofetz Chaim. You ever go to Bell's Nery for the Beis Medrash? So they have there in the very front of the Bell's, they have there the shtender of Aaron Nibels.
They don't have the shtender, they just have the chair, that's all.
No, they have the shtender also, no? In glass. Not the shtender?
No.
I remember the shtender also.
It's an old chair.
Not, are you sure not the shtender?
Yeah.
Okay, found the chair. So that chair, right? So it's in a glass case. I remember, I was there. It's in a glass case, right? So what is that? It's not very impressive, right?
No. It's small, actually.
Very small, very flimsy. No, you wouldn't even blink.
The Rebbe would sit at the edge of the chair.
On the edge of the chair.
In the old chair. Mm-hmm.
So how much do you think if they would auction that off, how much would that chair be worth? $1 million.
$1 million.
Probably the bills that they would buy for $1 million. Probably $1 million. So how much do you think if you auction off the table of the Chofetz Chaim, how much would it be worth today?
36,000.
More. I think more. I don't know. $1 million. I don't know. Who knows? It'll be a lot of money. So the Chofetz Chaim, his last days of his life, literally did not have a penny to his name. He was starving to death. He did not have. I heard. They have letters from him when he was mamash dying. His last days of life, he was begging people to send him money because he had not a penny to his name. When he left Radin, he liquidated his assets, and he had a table, and he basically like a yard sale. It seems you have to read the history, and he basically a guy came along and bought his table like for a dollar, whatever, like for nothing, for pennies. And Chofetz Chaim said, it's so sad. You know how much Torah I learned on that table? I learned on that table, like Mam Shkotar Akula, on that little teeny table. And here a guy, no clue, takes it. I think he says the guy chopped it up. I think he took the table and he chopped it for firewood. And Chofetz Chaim, like Chalif Sadas. Like, wow, look at this world. I spent my whole life learning on this table, and he chops it up and takes it away for firewood, like nothing. Like it's shocking. So that would have been worth today $1 million, that table. A muksa machmas chasaron kiss. It would qualify for the halacha b'zman hazeh of being muksa machmas chasaron kiss, and you would not be allowed to touch it on Shabbos, move it on Shabbos. And the only way you can remove that designation of muksa machmas chasaron kiss is if you now designate it for a purpose that you're going to use forever, not just for one Shabbos.
Not better to sell this chair and this table, and the money will go to the mahaziket and the yeshiva.
I don't understand what he's saying. Well,
to sell this chair,
which chair?
$1 million.
Rav Army Bells. They don't need the money.
It's not going to be damaged, but the money is going to.
They don't need the money. They don't need the money.
Can I say it for the shul?
You walk into the base manager, so you realize money is not a problem.
They are coming mishulachim. They get for the families. They support them. It's going to money.
Okay, let's go further. So tzarach yichli yalom hashish oyshayim shach b'shem, you have to smear with oil. V'im lo yichdan l'schayra, if you don't designate l'schayra sagi machshav me'erev Shabbos, if you not, it's not set aside for merchandise, the machshav is enough. Chen oyv slachem yveshim mechum chetzim odim shalom. So the same idea. The idea over here is that something that's muksa machmas atzma requires designation, and sometimes the designation has to be upgraded li'olam, and sometimes not. Sometimes machshav is enough. Sometimes machshav is not. I think the basic theme, the basic idea you get over here is that when you have something that is muksa machmas atzmai or muksa machmas chesaron kis, you have to go into a person's mind. How, to what degree did a person put this aside in his mind? If you put this aside very, very, like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, no way am I going near it, then you're going to have to do, when you want to use it on Shabbos, you have to designate it Erev Shabbos. And if you pushed it aside at 10, your designation has to be a quality designation on the level 10. What's a quality designation on level 10? You do a maisa. You smear oil on it. And that was examples. Or you carve out the wood, you reshape it, you pile up the bricks, and you sit down on it to show. If you put this aside, you pushed it away with a number 10, now Erev Shabbos, you must designate it with the number 10. If you only pushed it away with the number 3, so then if you want to designate it, you don't need such a strong designation. A machshav alone is enough. Zeh l'umazeh. The amount of designation corresponds to the amount, to the degree where you pushed it away before Shabbos began. Well, under normal circumstances, halacha yud. Something which has no use. Eggshells have absolutely no use. Or these raisins and these dates, these are figs which are not yet fully dry. They have no use. They have no use. Your designation, Erev Shabbos, is not going to make one bit of a difference. The only time we say that a designation is an Amber Alert, everyone's cell phone is going off at the same time. What? Someone in the shir is missing. Who in the shir is missing? What? Physically, an amulet for the chair. Okay. So, uklibe beitzim viagoyzim at samas iveshim yisabem loy mahani lu machshaba afilo hazmana even hazmana bepeh vehi madeya. Now we come to the next money. Money is muksa. Money is the root of all evil. Vehi madeya im lo sheyase maise demuchach shoymir letashmish goy madeya sheyinkov oisa. Okay, you gotta turn it off. Okay.
Take it outside.
Can you turn it off? All right. If you, the only way a coin is you make a hole in the coin. You make a hole in the coin, so the coin is no longer accepted. It's no longer accepted in circulation. The royal little is beside Bito. Those times they have in the Gemara this. The Gemara talks about this. You have a coin, you have a hole in the coin. The coin is, you can use the coin as a necklace. If you do a ma'isa to an object to show that what you want to use it for, so even if it's not forever, that's going to be sufficient. He talks about animals. Okay, he's saying over here, we mentioned the klal nuntes. Nuntes is back. I remember this. An animal falls in. Do we learn this? I don't know if we learned this. I think this before. This is not the laws of Muksa. If an animal falls into a pit, and the animal is in Sakana, are you allowed to retrieve the animal from the pit by carrying the animal? Don't you see on the news all the time, the most important thing the police department does and the fire department is they rescue cats that fall into the drain, and these little dogs. They always saw the pictures all over. Oh, look at that, so nice. The police department, your taxpayer money has gone to have 10 policemen come and retrieve a cat that fell into the sewer. Tax money gone for good purposes. Instead of protect the people from criminals on the street, they're busy taking pictures showing you that this cat they saved from the sewer. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Are you allowed to retrieve a cat? What?
Save a cat.
Are you allowed to save a cat that falls into the sewer on Shabbos? So the Pasht says no. You'd be very surprised. The rules are very strict. And smoksa. A cat is muksa. An animal, a dog is muksa. A cat is muksa. A behema gaz is muksa. So what's going to happen? The animal's going to die? No, it's going to die. Tzar bali chayim? But the tzar, the bali chayim, is going up against an isur deraisa, isur deraban of muksa.
Muksa, you can't pet the animal.
What?
Cannot pet the animal.
Petting the animal, if you don't move the animal, you can pet the animal. Or if the animal is for therapy, people, they pet animals for therapy. It's a very big thing today. Yeah. Therapy, children, people, autistic
animal
children. Yeah, it's a big thing. What?
So how do from Jews have pets?
On Shabbos? It's a big, we discussed, it's a very big problem. It's a very big problem. You're not allowed to pet the animals on Shabbos. You're not supposed to touch, let the animals roam around the house. You're not allowed to touch them. Now you're not allowed to touch animals on Shabbos. If you pet the animal, it's going to cause the animal to move. Everyone knows their pets. Some pets are very stubborn. You can pet them all you want; they're not going to budge. So then you can touch it. You're only not allowed to move muksa on Shabbos. If you touch something that causes it to move, you're not allowed. You're not even allowed to shout at the dog. You shout at the dog, you're causing the dog to move. You're causing it to move.
What about a guide animal?
No, that's not. That's a whole different story. A dog that's for a blind person.
It's domestic. It's domestic. He used to come to the owner and to kiss him and to make fun with him.
The animal, the dog, is going to kiss the owner?
Yes.
You're going to lick him?
Yes, you didn't see? Yeah, there are. They're hugging.
Okay, this is not. When we do the Parakhla Halacha, we'll go over it again. But basically, if you have a pet, people have dogs, it's a very, very big problem. You have to know the halachas. Generally, if there's no Erev, you cannot walk your dog. If there's no Erev in the community, walking the dog. Because the leash. Can you walk your dog on Shabbos? Can you walk your dog on Shabbos? If there is no Erev, theoretically, you can walk your dog as long as you keep the leash very tight. You keep the leash very tight, and the leash does not droop. Does not droop.
Like the air.
It's almost impossible.
It's droop at some point.
What? Exactly. So therefore, it's really almost impossible to walk your dog in a place where there is no Erev. If there is no Erev, it's almost impossible. you have to be really super skilled, and then the dog is a very, very good dog, in order that you can assume that you're not going to come to be nichshol in having your leash, the maver dalet amos with your leash on Shabbos. It's almost impossible. But if there's an Erev, then you're in business. Then you can walk the dog. But if you walk the dog, you're not allowed to pull the dog. You're not allowed, you just have to hold the leash. And if the dog runs away, so the dog itself is being restrained because you're holding the leash. But what's very common is you see people, they give a yank. You give a yank to pull the dog that direction. You're not allowed to do that. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that.
Why not?
Because you're moving. By giving the yank, you're moving the dog. And you're being metalful muksa. So you'll say, oh, it's a sakana, because if I don't do that, the dog's going to go chew someone up. So don't walk the dog. Don't put yourself in makam of sakana. You'll say, but I have to take the chance, because if the dog stays in the house the whole day, then it's sakana for me. He'll eat me up. So maybe you're right. Maybe in a chanami that's a heter. So when you come to a matzah of sakana, so then you have no choice. You have to go pull the dog, not to have it harm someone. I mean, keeping the dog in the house the whole day is not an option, because the dog's mental health, your mental health is also important. It's not a joke. You know, obviously there are so many variables. Mm-hmm. You cannot give a one-size-fits-all psak halacha when it comes to a pet. It's a very, very complex thing. You see it all the time in this community. People walk dogs. I know people who walk dogs on Shabbos who walked for fine. They use the Erev, takes away all problems of carrying. And do they know the halachas? They don't know halachas? I don't know. Don't ask, don't tell. But generally, if you know the halachas, an animal is muksa. That is clear as day. You're not allowed to be metal to an animal for no purpose on Shabbos. Today, there's a very big people that have pets just for children, especially. I told you, it's a very big thing today about like Rachman Litzan, autistic children. Autistic children, or learning disabled children, or children that have issues with temper, and they find that it works miracles that they have pets. So there's some type of bond that is formed between the child and the animal, and it's very therapeutic, and it really works. Read up on it. Go Google it. Read up on this. They even showed pictures. I think it was in the FJJ a couple of weeks ago. I almost never looked at the magazine and paper anymore. But they showed that they brought to Maimonides the rehabilitation center. I've been there already a few times. There's a people that the mamash was going on. It's like unbelievable what's going on over there. Next, the block after my mom, is a massive, massive
Bar Park Center,
a rehabilitation center, a lot of physical therapy. It's a big operation going on over there, major operation. So there was a picture in the paper. Either I saw it in the paper or I saw it online, where they brought horses, ponies.
Yeah, little baby horses.
They brought into the place. They brought the horses in the building. Into the therapy.
Staff appreciate.
What?
Yeah.
And they brought it in.
And
they all ride up. And what are they bringing in? Is because it works miracles. As long as the insurance is paying for it.
You think there's a difference if it's a help dog?
Yeah. If you have a child, well, that's a they're blind. Let's say a blind
and
eye.
Looks it doesn't come into play.
No, because that's a whole different story. That's already a whole different. A person who's blind and needs the dog to see to walk around. Obviously, you're dealing with a whole different category. I don't know what the details are. Why you call it a chaylish in my sakana? You want to go say what?
An exception.
What in a wheelchair? Wheelchair's not muksa. Why should wheelchair be muksa? On a wheelchair, if there's an Erev, if there's an Erev indoors, you ever see a person not be moving indoors in a wheelchair?
I mean,
so outside, technically speaking, the person himself, if the person himself can maneuver himself in a wheelchair himself, technically speaking, yes, it's mutter, even when there's no Erev. Even if there's no Erev, the person himself, if he himself maneuvers it, he can maneuver himself because that's his legs. If you need help, which you do, you always, because there's always steps. There's always going to be steps. There's always going to be some issue where someone has to help you out on the curb, this, that. So then you're getting into problems that can another Jew move the wheelchair for you? And the answer pretty much is no. Not if there's no Erev. If there's no Erev, and then you need to come on to a guy. And then even that's not because Amir Lakam. Amir, so there's a mitzvah. Going to shul is a mitzvah. So the minhag, I told you, we discussed Amir Lakam. The minhag olam today is to be very, very makel when it comes to shul, even though it's not at all simple. It's not at all simple at all. that it should be mutter to do, but the minhag olam must be very, very mekel that we allow a guy without any hesitation to take a person in a wheelchair to shul, and in the process of doing so, he's carrying the wheelchair, he's carrying the person. You can't say chaynay siyasatzma. Chaynay siyasatzma is only when you're actually carrying a person who is maneuvering his weight. When a person is sitting in a wheelchair and you're pushing the wheelchair from the Rishus HaYachad to the Rishus HaRabim, and when you're walking with the wheelchair Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, you're doing a malacha. If you hold that the flapush is a Rishus HaRabim deraisa, you're doing multiple malachas deraisa of going from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim, being maver Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, and going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachad. So for a Jew to do this, you're really dealing with an Isser deraisa. If the person who's in the wheelchair himself can maneuver the wheelchair, he has a ramp, and the shul has no steps, and everything is a curb, and everything is taken care of, and he can do the entire thing himself. Now, I can't tell you 100%, but I'm almost 95% sure that he can do it. He himself can maneuver himself, because his wheelchair is like his cane. It's like his legs. And it's a Feresh Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. This is basically an extension of his body. Just like you're allowed to wear a coat, and you're allowed to wear a hat, and you're allowed to wear a shirt, so you're allowed to go in the wheelchair, because the wheelchair basically is now an extension of your body, as long as you're doing it. But if you're not doing it, and someone is pushing it, another Jew is pushing it, you're not allowed to. If there's an Erev, then of course you're allowed to. If there is no Erev, so who's doing the Malacha? A Goy. It's Amir Liakim. Is this for the purpose of a Tzibur? Is this the purpose of a Tzibur? No, it's one person. You're doing it for one, so you can't come onto the head that you're doing it for Tzarech HaKlal. You're doing it for one person. Is this person, is this a mitzvah, going to shul a mitzvah? Not necessarily. I mean, davening is a mitzvah, but in the category to have a meal lakum for a mitzvah, we learned, it is a very high threshold of what's called a mitzvah. It's a variable, what's called a mitzvah. Going to shul l'chor is not in the category of a mitzvah that you can tell a guy to do for you a malach. So what do you want to say? It's Oynik Shabbos? There's almost no heter of Oynik Shabbos for an individual to Amir Liakim, of Chil Shabbos Dereisa. So why then do we do Bizman Hazeh? So you'll say mental health. That's probably mental health, which is something which is a modern concept. Because mental health you don't find in the Gemara. There's very, 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 years ago there was a very low threshold of mental health was not much of an issue. People can deal with anything in time years ago.
Relax.
You can deal with anything, whatever problem you have in the world, you can deal with. Mental health was not I think it's the battery is gone.
Again?
If the person is not in the house, it's as if
I don't know.
And make him depressed.
Okay, mental health is a very big, that's one of the head. And also, others will tell you that Bizman Hazeh, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. Even those that are not like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that will not carry in the street, will not use the Erev, because Flapush is a place where you can't have an Erev, they're not necessarily going to go so far to say that it's Mamish or Rishus Ram Deraisa.
A sniff,
yeah. Right. So therefore, if it's not Mamish or Rishus Ram Deraisa, so then Amir Liakim, that's not Amir Liakim for a Deraisa, it's Amir, it's a Shvus to Shvus. I'm telling a Goy to do an Isser Derabbanan. Right? When is Amir Liakim really, really a problem? When you're telling a guy to do an Isser Deraisa. If you're telling a guy to you to do an Isser Derabbanan, that's called a Shvus de Shvus. It's an Isser Derabbanan to Amir Liakim, and it's an Isser Derabbanan to do an Isser Derabbanan. So when you have two Isser Derabbanans, it's called Shvus de Shvus. Shvus de Shvus, it's two Isser Derabbanans. So it's weaker. So when you combine that with mental health, and you combine that with going to shul, you know it is also a shtickle mitzvah. It's also a shtickle mitzvah to go to shul to daven with the tzibur, and it's also a simcha for the family, taking into consideration their mental health. They also need a break. They also need a break. The caregivers also need some time off, and you take into consideration, you know, other things come into consideration. That is why, in reality, halacha lemaisa, you're not going to find a pesach that I know of that will tell you that a goy should not take a Jew who's wheelchair bound to shul on Shabbos. You're not going to find it today, in 2017. If you'd go back to the year 1980, you probably would find Paiskin. I know. I think I didn't hear firsthand, but you probably can verify this from the one of the biggest Paiskin Hilchos Shabbos rabbi. It was Nifter. What's like Pearl or Shomer? Pearl, Shlomo Pearl. So he discussed this, and he basically said everything I told you, and he basically says is like years ago, this was not so simple. You would not just have a guy take you to shul on Shabbos. This didn't happen. Today, it's a non-issue. Don't even ask Shaila. It's so posh that it's mutter. Even Gedolei Yisrael, we find, you see the big Gedolim, who are Rachman al-Slan, when they are elderly, and they're wheelchair-bound, they go into shul every Shabbos in wheelchairs, and these are big places in the Gedolei Yisrael, so today it's not an issue. The Shaila hasn't decided, but he went through the whole sugya, and he goes and said, you know, it's not so simple. And years ago, in fact, it wasn't done. It wasn't actually done. Things that, you know, it's interesting. Things were very sensitive today, and maybe we're more knowledgeable today. We have more different understanding of halacha, so therefore we have more reason why. I don't know. I really don't understand, but that's how it is. Okay.
If the guy is permanent,
it doesn't make a difference if he's a permanent guy or
this. He knows without any amira, he's going to do it this.
He's doing it on his own, you're telling him.
Yeah.
He's doing it on his own. But
doesn't say
but
nobody.
You're saying
it.
Very good.
Yes,
but he's still doing it for you. Even when a guy, there is a halacha that if a guy does some halacha for a Jew, even though I did not tell him, you're still not allowed to derive benefits.
His job.
It's not so simple. You're not allowed to derive benefit from what a non-Jew does. Okay, and then you're also dealing with the tzomet. The tzomet, they make special scooters.
It's
motorized scooters.
The
and these scooters are designed with grumma switches, where when they have a special device, it's not halacha l'mayis, so that's a very controversial thing. If you're allowed to use lechatchila it's somet instantly by Rosen, the head of Tzomet, it's a very, very big tzaddik, where every Talmud Chacham was just nifter a few weeks ago. He was just nifter. It's a real tragedy. His thing that he did for Klal Yisrael, unbelievable what he did. Okay, well, those things are certainly b'di'evet, certainly they're better than when you have no choice, like in the hospitals and the army. They've introduced many of his inventions. But lechatchila, can a person flatbush and Eretz Yisrael go around on Shabbos with a tzomet electronic scooter? Probably the vast majority of the Orthodox poskim that lean to the right will all tell you, usser, you're not allowed to do this.
Yeah, but
what with it doesn't make a difference.
This intelligent cars without drivers. It could be a scooter,
So you want to say a robot. So it's still optional, sir. You're saying very good. A robot. What about robots? Let's say, look, the old Charles in Boston. They did this. They used to do this in Boston. They would go to shul on the T. Anyone in Boston, they have the T. It's like the train which goes above ground. Sure. So it seems that they made a very nice arrangement with the city that on Shabbos, anyone who claims that they're Jewish doesn't have to pay. Years ago, it could be even still today. You don't have to pay. They trust you. It's very, very yeshivish. In Boston, Michal, you should know, even in the city, it's not like New York. It's not at all like New York. It's very, very laid back.
It's like Miami.
Laid back. So they made an arrangement, so, and they go to shul on Shabbos. I want to go to shul. I can't walk to shul. How do I go to shul on Shabbos? You go on the T.
Okay.
You go on the T. I'm not paying any money, and the T is going by itself anyway. I mean, it's a driver. But
it's a driver,
but the people get on. Like, it's not doing anything special for you. He stops. The door opens, you get on with everyone else, like the subway. Well, opening, the door is open, closing for you, for everyone. You get on, and you get off, and there's an understanding that Shabbos, Orthodox Jews go to, they tell the conductor, there's an Orthodox Jews, so can you do this? So they did it. They did it. It was done. Today I heard that it's not done. It's not really, today there are more shuls, so it's not really necessary anymore. There are so many more shuls today in Boston, in these areas, so it's not really necessary anymore. People don't do it anymore, but it's a controversial thing. Technically, it's mutter. Is it in the spirit of Shabbos? Not really. Is anyone really watching? No, because who's living there? You're living in these very rural areas, no one sees. You live in Mamash, you arrive on a train on Shabbos in front of Bnei Brak. It's a different story.
You can't wear your talus when you're going on the train.
What?
You can't wear your talus.
I guess so. Like the Shaila yesterday, I'm asking. Guy comes to shul, doesn't know he wants a yacht. So he takes out a pen. Is it mutter? 100%. A kli shemalachtai le'iser le'tzorech gufo is mutter. Is it in the spirit of Shabbos? Take out a pen as a pointer on Shabbos Kodesh when you're wearing your talus and giving going. No, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. So it's the same. A lot of these things. Is the scooter mutter according to the letter of the law? Not necessarily, but probably. Ibelsky held not. Ibelsky was very against these grumma things. He held out, but many places say, yeah, it's good. It's good. I think Rav Moshe said it was good. I think Rav Moshe, he already had this from Moshe's time. Rav Moshe said it's good. He was no chol Shabbos. But is Rav Moshe allow this?
No.
To use the scooter? No, he wouldn't allow this.
Because in Israel, I know I have a relative in a moshav, who's very religious. They will not allow a few older people, and then suddenly they were the same age, they became all, they cannot go to shul.
Yeah.
So now everybody.
Everyone does the scooter, they all go on scooters on Shabbos. So obviously, it all depends. If you follow the person that technically it's mutter, okay, but it's no question not in the spirit of the law. So therefore, it's not ideal. If you, in, that's what they made it for. The whole Ivar Rosen, they made it for those type of extreme situations where you minimize the Chil Shabbos. You minimize it. It's not a technical Shabbos. It's not in the spirit of the law. But when push comes to shove, you can't take into consideration the spirit of the law. You have to fall back on the Ikar. Like the Koch Nefesh. Yeah, you're dealing with the army. So they want to go give the army keyboards. They gave the whole army special keyboards, Tzomet keyboards. The Tzomet keyboards, you're not being Mechal Shabbos when you click on the keyboards. So they're anyway going to be using the keyboard on Shabbos because the Koch Nefesh, they're anyway going to be using the keyboards.
I heard this before. Shari Tzedek has a shuttle on Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's run by a.
A goy.
Run by a non-Jew.
Non-Jew. And
goes around, picks up nurses.
People.
And
right. Or even people. People have to come to the hospital.
In Israel now to put on special plates on a medical.
Emergency vehicles.
So that if they go Shabbos, people recognize that the car.
It shouldn't be.
They should know that this.
Aha, uh-huh, aha. Uh-huh. Interesting reason. Okay, so we're going to have to stop over here and we'll pick this up on tomorrow. Take a short break.
I went to another church earlier, and one of the things he said was, it's a difference if a guy could never ever go to shul or not. He said, if a guy for one time thing. I had heard,
but it's not the custom today. The custom today is there's no hesitation. There was no hesitation.
I heard my foot and I had a stick. I told him, could I go to shul on Shabbos?
With the stick?
With the stick, carrying on Shabbos. He said, wear it in your house. I said, no, but in the house there's no mice. So he hemmed and hawed. I said, I think you want me to go to shul next week. He said, yeah.
If you don't really need it, if when you walk around in the house you don't need it, and you only take it in the street,
because of the eyes.
But it's. I know people, elderly people, they mindless. They use their stick. They can't go to the bathroom without the walker.
Yeah.
They can't go. And then there are people in the house. You know, they go slowly. They hold on to. They hold on. But when in the street, they use the walker. So that so you say. If you don't need the walker to go maneuver yourself in the house, it goes to show you don't really, in the street, you just want more stability. That's a more of a tougher question. But when the guy himself can't go to the bathroom without his own walker, I mean, that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
There's no Shiloh. You can use your walker. You can go to school with a walker. There's nothing to talk about.
Thank you.
So that's also my brother was a doctor for many years, has a special phone.
Right.
Yeah.
They make everything. All the electronic devices they make.
Special phone for Shabbos.
Everything they make. Scooters, and phones, and alarms. In Young Gizu, we had already 20 years ago an alarm system from Summit. You can turn the alarm on and you turn on and off on Shabbos. What happens if the alarm goes off? This is like really way bizarre. The alarm goes off
for hours.
So then it rings like for a minute, and then it stops like for 10 seconds. During those 10 seconds, you can turn it off.
Sometimes it recycles.
I'll tell you what the Rav said on Shabbos. Funny story. He was talking about Shalom Aleichem and the Malachim showing up. He says, you know, the Malachim really escort you all the time. Malachim is Sabbath law. So there's a tefillah about, you know, when you go to the bathroom, you're really supposed to say, wait a minute, I'll be back. But we don't do it because we're not cognizant of our Malachim. Somebody faxed the Shaila to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, I see the Malachim. Should I say the tefillah? Know the answer? Ask him.
Welcome to the week of the
game. Ask them a lot what they say.
What do you say? What?
Very, very funny.
You know, I'm a diabetic, and on Shabbos, you know, it's not right, so I have to do it all the time. You know, I have to test myself constantly. So I just make shinuyim. That's why I spoke to Rav.
People carry medicine. They have to carry medicine with them. Some people pills.
Yeah.
Mikoch nefesh.
Yeah.
They have to have it on them 24/7. Certain pills.
Yeah, nitro.
So they either put in their garments. They put in their garments in an unusual way. No choice.
Yeah. You read the stuff I gave you?
What? The article?
Yeah.
I think so.
The Balfour or whatever.
Yeah.
You read it?
I didn't read it well. I have to read it again. I haven't still read it.
This is another article.
You stroke a dog, right?
Shidduchim.
He's not going to move his feet. He's going to move his head.
We'll make a dent.
Read it. Read it. Read it.
What about me? If you have a dog.
Yeah.
Was the movement his feet and his body, or just part?
Any movement. It doesn't matter.
It's always going to be moving. It's never
not
like
that. Not necessarily. Or in the house.
In the house. An animal is muksa. Zehu. When you move an animal, the animal is
muksa. And if the animal brings you something.
So very good. I didn't move it. It moved by itself.
But so if I stroke it and it goes like that, even though he doesn't move his body, he just moves his head.
I believe it's a problem. Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah. Even if he's not moving his not location, but he's moving his it's still called movement. We have to clarify when we learn the practical halacha. We're going to try to clarify exactly. But if I'm not mistaken, it's a problem. It's not simple. Animals are muks on Shabbos. But you have little children, you're not mechuyif to stop them from being metalful muks. So little children, you have pets, they have dogs, puppies, and this and that, and they you're not mechuyif to stop them. So they just for children it's fine. When they get a little bit older, you know, learn a little muksa, so you're sure you're on Shabbos, you can't go be metalful the applicants. Okay, Rabbi, if I want to continue, me inyan,